Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The words of the teacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What do people gain from all the toil at which they toil under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hurries to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Round and round goes the wind. On its circuits, the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they continue to flow. All things are wearisome, more than one can express. The eye is not satisfied without seeing, or the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, "See, this is new"? It has already been in the ages before us. The people of long ago are not remembered, nor will there be any remembrance of the people yet to come by those who come after them. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. All this I laid to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hands of God. Whether it is love or hate, one does not know. Everything that confronts them is vanity, since the same fate comes to all, to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to those who sacrifice and those who do not sacrifice. As there are good, so are the sinners. Those who swear are like those who shun an oath. This is an evil in all that happens under the sun, that the same fate comes to everyone. Moreover, the hearts of all are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. But whoever is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. The living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no more reward, and even the memory of them is lost. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished. Never again will they have any share in all that happens under the sun. Go, eat your bread with enjoyment, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has long ago approved what you do. Let your garments always be white. Do not let oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love, all the days of your vain life that are given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life, and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor the bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to the skillful, but time and chance happen to all of them. For no one can anticipate the time of disaster, like fish taken in a cruel net, and like birds caught in a snare. So mortals are snared at the time of calamity, when it suddenly falls upon them.
When I was in Brethren Volunteer Service, I lived in Elgin, Illinois, just outside of Chicago, and I made $60 a month. I had food and shelter, good friends, work that I enjoyed. I did not really want for anything, except to go see the Indigo Girls in concert in the city at a small venue. That I really, really wanted to do. They were my band. And it took me months to save money for that ticket. and it was totally worth it. I can remember what it was like as the roughly 100 of us gathered together to sing their most famous song, Closer to Fine. Amy and Emily stepped back from their microphones, and the crowd lifted the words up. I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. I looked to the children. I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, the closer I am to find. The verses of the song outline those other places we might seek for meaning or for wisdom in degrees, at the bar, in our workout, but we still return over and over to the place of uncertainty, where giving up the search for the definitive might just leave us closer to find. This singing, this seeking, the one they sing about, these Indigo Girls, the one they sing about, the crowd and the fans singing about it, those folks aren't alone. This kind of journey of discovery is as old as time. We find it in ancient Babylon in the Epic of Gilgamesh, that pre-biblical literary masterpiece. We find it in contemporary song and movies. We find it in our own stories of searching. Humanity has always wanted to know the answer to what is the meaning of life, the universe, and everything. Ecclesiastes is a book searching for that answer. The writer, called Kohelet, or teacher, as our Bible reading today called him, is the word Kohelet quite literally means assembler. And he goes on a search for cosmic meaning in the world and then assembles his findings into this book. It is all at once poetry and autobiography. It is a book that contradicts itself at times as Kohelet moves honestly through this journey of discovery. The teacher seeks wisdom and understanding even as they elude him, and he wrestles with this reality. He wrestles with the uncertainty. Ecclesiastes is a book about seeking, one that moves between cynicism and acceptance, worldliness and spirituality, anxiety and serenity, says William P. Brown. It is an honest reckoning, one that careful readers may also see within themselves. It is refreshingly unafraid of mystery. Not mystery as a puzzle to be figured out and mastered, but as something unknowable. Mystery as reality, astonishingly beautiful, and perhaps even divine. Kohelet writes at a time of great socioeconomic change. The Israelites are refugees, returning to what is left of their homeland after the Babylonian exile. They must refind themselves after experiencing horrors, tragedy, pain, loss, and dislocation. The people were looking back on the past with disillusionment, calling into question the wisdom of those who had gone before. It was a time when people were hurting spiritually, when trust had eroded, and the future was unsure. And so Kohelet, our teacher, goes seeking meaning and wisdom and understanding. And he seeks everywhere under the sun, to the doctor, the mountains, the children, the fountains, and even beyond. He observes everything he can. He tries chasing after money and wealth. He tries study and academia. He tries living in poverty, as well as exercising great power. He chases after pleasure for pleasure's sake, All of it is vanity, he declares. Hevel is the word in Hebrew. It means mist, a vapor. Three themes emerge as concrete in the midst of this vapor. Three equalizers in this existence of vanity. Three realities that none of us can escape. Time, chance, and death. Time first. It marches on, doesn't it? Always marches on. And the teacher in Ecclesiastes recognizes that when you take the truly long view, none of us will be remembered in the end. In chapter 1, he says, what has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is a new thing? No, it has already been in the ages before us. The people of long ago are not remembered, nor will there be any remembrance of the people yet to come by those who come after them. He is writing this after the people have returned from exile, returned to the stones of what used to be their homes, homes that housed real people with real lives, real stories, all long forgotten. Time marches past us all. Next, there is chance. In contrast to the wisdom of Proverbs and Deuteronomy, Kohelet recognizes that those books are not the entirety of the truth. Because Proverbs and Deuteronomy tell you that if you do right, if you keep the laws, if you obey commands, everything will be okay. Better than okay. Things will be good. You will be blessed. Ecclesiastes, on the other hand, says in chapter 9, again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to the skillful, but time and chance happen to them all. We have seen this in our own lives. When bad things happen to good people, when bad things happen to us. We even hear echoes of this reality from Jesus' own mouth, who said, God makes the sun rise on the wicked and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. The wisdom of Proverbs and Deuteronomy find their counter voice in the wisdom of Ecclesiastes, where we wrestle with chance. And finally, there is death. We will all die. Everyone you love will die. We do not know when. We do not know how. We do know that some of us are more aware of this truth, more aware of it in heartbreaking and aching ways. But the reality is the same for all of us. We will all die. And the teacher does not pretend that this is false. Further, he is critical of trying to pretend that this is false. Over and over he repeats, the same fate finds us all. The same fate comes to us all. The same fate, death. These three equalizers, time, chance, and death, they affect us all. No matter our gender or station in life or our amount of wealth or our number of degrees, they are real for all of us, whether we admit their truth or their power or not. And they leave us in a world of uncertainty. They leave us in the place of discomfort and sometimes pain because of not knowing. And it can all feel pretty meaningless, like vanity, like vapor, like a mist. But Ecclesiastes is not a book of despair. It is not a book that chooses nihilism. It's not choosing to lack meaning. Instead, it takes very seriously the harsh realities of time, chance, and death, and encourages us to love our life, to really live, to embrace our work, invest in our community, appreciate the ordinary gifts of food and drink, love and laughter. Those are the gifts of God. Indeed, finding the beauty and meaning in those things is a gift from God. Chapter 5 says, "This is the one good thing I've seen. For people to eat, drink, and find enjoyment in all their hard work under the sun during the brief lifetime that God gives them, because that's their lot in life. Also, whenever God gives people wealth and riches and enables them to enjoy it, to accept their place in the world, and to find pleasure in their hard work, all of this is God's gift." Sometimes we cheapen that message. Eat, drink, and be merry. It can come off as flippant, joyless even. But the encouragement here is to know fully, viscerally, the realities of time, chance, and death, and then to choose to really live meaningfully, lovingly, for your whole life. Kohelet, our teacher, encourages a few practices that I find exceedingly meaningful. First, he places a high value on ordinary table fellowship. I love this as an image of a faithful life, a full life in the face of uncertainty. Share food and drink in community. Share food and drink in community. Appreciate the sustenance that comes from that, both physically and spiritually. It is a gift to find meaning in these things, to not take them for granted, to be grateful. And right up there with ordinary table fellowship, Kohelet also values work. Not working for wealth, not working for self-gain or advantage, that is all vanity. Instead, we work, we toil in order to use our gifts for the joy of applying them and applying the things at which we are good and in which we find joy for others. This is the very nature of vocation, and it is so counter to our market-driven economy. Kohelet reminds us that we are so much more valuable than the money we make, the papers we publish, or the prestige we achieve. We are necessary parts of a community where our gifts can be shared. And that is truly amazing. Eat and drink together. Find pleasure in your toil. This is the teacher's answer in the face of time, chance, and death. Eat and drink together. Find pleasure in your toil. Love your life. You do not need me to tell you that we face the same uncertainties found in the book of Ecclesiastes. You told me during the prayer time. We live in a time of questions, where there is disillusionment with institutions and even with history, questions about the wisdom of the past. Many of us are caught in systems of chasing after fame or wealth or prestige or even happiness, and we know the sense of hevel, of vapor and mist and meaningless that can come with constant chasing. We have seen and prayed for and agonized with good people around us who have been sick or hurting or had unthinkable tragedies befall them. We know death. We know death is part of life, even as we do not know when it will come. We face the same uncertainty. And we also have the same power to choose to eat and drink together, to find pleasure in our toil, to love our life. All week, I've been coming back to this poem by Mary Oliver. Instructions for living a life. Pay attention. Be astonished. Tell about it. Pay attention. Be astonished by food and drink and work and community. Those are astonishing things. And tell about it. And if you can, sing about it too.